In the early 1980s, the French government obtained 3,000 pages of Soviet documents that revealed the names of hundreds of KGB operatives spying in NATO countries. The leak came not through an intelligence officer, but rather a French businessman who found himself accidentally caught up in a Cold War spy game. And the information he received from a source codenamed Farewell would play a role in speeding up the end of the Cold War. Christian Carrion tells the story of the two men and the information they shared in a new spy thriller called Farewell. It opens on Friday, July 23rd at the Lincoln Plaza and Sunshine Cinemas. And Mr. Carrion joins me now, along with Jack Devine, a 32-year CIA veteran. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Pleasure.
Christian, set the scene for us. Who was Vladimir Vetrov?
Vladimir Vetrov was a colonel working at the KGB at the beginning of the 80s. And for many reasons, he decided to do something. He wanted to destroy the system like it was at that time, hoping a better one.
Kind of like the same idea that Gorbachev had? Or did he want to reform communism?
Yes, in sort of ways. He tried to do something before Gorbachev. He was communist. He still believed in it. But he was disappointed by the system like it was at that time. And he said, let's try to do something to make a big reaction.
But what he decided on it would be called treason in any country.
Yes, but he thought it was the only way, to make a big bang. And after this, he said they have to do something.
Jack, this was a French operation. How or where were people in the CIA about what was happening?
Well, I honestly don't, know the answer to precisely when. I think when I read some of the notes, Mitterrand brought it to the attention of President Reagan. So it's not precise, but I suspect it was fairly early on.
Well, it was an interesting thing that we have Mitterrand and Ronald Reagan because Ronald Reagan was very suspicious of Mitterrand because he was a socialist. Did this actually make things a little easier in French-American relations at the time?
Well, I think there's always a difference between the relationship with the intelligence service and sometimes with the government. And whether it's a socialist or non-socialist government, the intelligence services seemed to function reasonably well. It may have helped around the edges, but I think President Reagan had at least a proper relationship with Mitterrand, and I think he understood the subtleties of socialism and certainly the difference between it and the communist state.
Had there been other leaks of this proportion during the Cold War?
Well, we've had a number of agents during the Cold War, for sure. And the famous Ames case, in which you had an American spy betray his country, there were at least 11 individuals in the Russian intelligence world that lost their lives through leaks that exposed these sources. So while he was a valuable one, there were others for sure.
Christian, but you do suggest in the film that Vetrov had access to all of the files, everything that could be damaging to the KGB.
Yes, most of the big files has to come to him because he was a very specialist in many, many things. So he has a very key point, because of his work. That's why he was very efficient or dangerous.
And how long did he keep on passing on this information?
Less than 2 years. But it's a very complicated story, to be honest with you. We know a lot of things about, for example, the relationship between Mitterrand and Reagan, which is not so easy between the two men, because Mitterrand was socialist and working with four communist ministers, which was a nightmare for Ronald Reagan, as you can imagine. But
he imagined that those four communist ministers would be passing on information to the Soviet Union?
Yeah, they think so.
And maybe he had good reason to worry about that, because there had been a...
No, because, the French Communist Party has decided, you know, not to give any information to for USSR, because USSR said to the French Communist Party, you are on the West side. So we don't want you to be in a government or something else. You just have to be in opposition, but not to do anything about. But the election in 1981 gave the power to the left. That's why the four communist ministers arrived, you know. And but we know a lot of things between the two presidents. But what happened really in Moscow? We know some things, but we don't. I think we will never know exactly the whole truth about Farewell.
Because,
and I love it.
Because all we have is what we know from the French side.
That's all.
We don't know what, but we do know he didn't want to defect.
We just have. I met the people. I met the French people of this French Secret Service, and they told me a lot of things. And you know, I was writing the draft at home at night. Some people called me, and one of them said to me, "Are you working on Farewell Affair?" I say, "Yes." "Oh, you're right. It's a crazy story, but we should meet because I know." Many things about that story it can be useful for you. Would you love to have a coffee with me?" I said, "Yes." So I met this guy. He gave me a name. I don't know if it's a true name and what else. I don't care. And he said to me, "So Farewell is dead." I said, "Yes." "Mm-hmm." "And did you see the corpse?" And then I think to myself, no one saw the corpse. And I said to him, "Okay, if you are telling me he's not dead, he's living in South America and making some pizzas, everything is possible." And he said, "Mr. Carillon, in an espionage affair, everything is possible."
My guests are Christian Carillon, who is the director of a new film called Farewell, or The Farewell Affair. And it opens on July 23rd at the Lincoln Plaza in Sunshine Cinemas. Also with us is Jack Devine, a 32-year-old CIA veteran. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. Jack, should people be that suspicious?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, Leonard. I mean, I think the first thing is one can tie themselves in knots if you're a true conspiratorialist and you see everything tied with the secret thing behind it. More things in life actually are more linear than that. What's interesting in the movie and what I found valuable was it gets to the issue of betrayal and the psychology behind it, and the pain and anguish that sometimes the people that live in that world must go through, plus the risk. There's a scene where they're crossing the border, and I think they capture very well the seriousness of the work. But at the end of the day, you know, the spying business indeed is below the radar. But sometimes it's simply an agent reporting back, and that it isn't up three or four layers deep.
Well, you mentioned that this is really more of a psychological story than the kind of spy thriller we've seen in recent times. There aren't any major chases and that sort of thing. This is really about the kind of stress that people live with.
Yes.
When they're engaged in this kind of activity. And Jack, for a KGB officer, wasn't Grigoryev being rather reckless in the way he was passing on some of this information?
I think there's a number of critiques that one could make about the tradecraft side of things. But again, you're trying to get on film something that is takes weeks and days to plan some of these brush passes that took place in the movie. But his own personal behavior at times was high risk. So I think, you know, when I think you put your finger on the nub of this, which is it's a psychodrama. And I think it's important to see that how damaging and dysfunctional many times the lives are of people who are tied into this. And they become handling problems because of it.
It affects their families as well. And Christian, part of the excitement of the film is how close they come at times to being found out. Is this the way it really happened? How much of the story do we actually know?
I would love to know it.
Well, what about Pierre?
Pierre was a true...
it's based on somebody who was a businessman. Yeah. You made him into somebody who worked for the French embassy. But Has he kept his name secret up to this time?
Yeah.
Why? Why would he? Does he not want any of the glory of having played such an important role?
No, it's not his way of life, I mean. He was an engineer, you know, and at that time, during the Cold War, all the big French company working outside, abroad, I mean, especially the communist part of the world, they have to give some information for the French Secret Service. So he just did his duty, that's all.
There's a wonderful chemistry between your two male leads, Guillaume Canet playing Pierre and Amer Kusturica, who is playing the KGB colonel. They communicate mostly in French, but there's also dialogue in English and Russian. Were the two principals familiar with French and Russian?
Emir, he understands very well French, but he can't speak really French, so it was rather difficult to make the movie with him.
And he's a Bosnian actor. Did he speak Russian? Because Serbo-Croatian is a Slavic language, but yeah, it isn't Russian.
No, it's not at all. But during the Yugoslavia, when he was a child, they used to learn Russian, like every communist country, you know. And he said to me, yes, I learned, but I forgot everything.
He said it was a little difficult.
He looked good.
I believed him every moment. Well, first of all, he's a great actor, which really helped. But you said it was difficult at times?
Yes, but first of all, I must confess, Emir was not my first idea. First of all, I wanted to make Farewell in respecting the three languages, English, French, and Russian, not all in English or all in French. And so I went to Moscow and to find a good Russian actor. And I found one because there are a lot of very good actors in Moscow. And he was very enthusiastic. He came to Paris and we start to make a big preparation. But 6 weeks before the start of the movie, the Russian ambassador living in Paris called the actor on his cell phone and say, Sergei, you are an amazing actor. The Russian people, they love you. But the Russian people, they will never understand why you decided to make a French movie and to defend a traitor. It would be very bad for your career. Think about it. Mm. So he took a plane, come back to Moscow, and then called us. And he said, forget my name, forget my number, forget everything.
And I can understand that. And Jack, I assume that an American actor wouldn't want to play Benedict Arnold as a hero.
Or Jonathan, it might be a career-ending role.
Yeah. or one of the more modern spies, if he was depicted in a positive light. But you said that you didn't feel this was as realistic as you would have liked.
I think on the tradecraft part, and it's really not a criticism of the movie. It's just that any professional would have spent weeks on preparing how you hand off information and. But I think in terms of a shorthand, I think it was good.
Have you ever seen a film or read a book by John le Carré or anyone else that really was accurate in that regard?
Well, I don't think it makes for good theater. I mean, it's you know, sort of desk work. It's methodical. And as you were alluding to earlier, there's no action scenes of chases and so on. I think in the Le Carré movies and the book as well, it's really about the mind. And I think that's where the emphasis should be. There are some good movies, The Bourne Identity, I'm not putting a plug in here, but I think the technical parts of that are actually quite good. But the psychodrama is on the lower end of things. I mean, but this movie, I think, Farewell gets at the pain and complexity of the life of a spy. And I think that's more important than the intricacies of the tradecraft.
Because there's a lot of subplot here. Pierre's relationship with his wife and his children. And also Grigoriev's, his complicated marriage, his relationship with his son, his girlfriend.
Yeah. Because, you know, I really believe that your private life is very, very important. And it rules, in a sort of way, your public life. I believe in it. We are not just a machine, you know. We are human beings. So How do you feel at home with your son, with your wife, and so on? It's a big impact in the way you work, especially with Farewell. I mean, Vitrov. I changed the name because many reasons. And he was so alone, in fact. When you betray, you are alone. And he was depressed and kind of crazy man, too. That's why he didn't act like a very professional spy, because he said, I know the rules. If we do like normally we do, which we should do, we will be found. So let's do it in another way. And he did it in a very crazy way.
He's working with an amateur here.
Yeah.
I think that was rather dangerous. And again, I think he took some great risk right at the very beginning. And I think it ultimately led to his demise. Yeah. But if
he's
today,
dead, Jack, if he's dead.
No, you're right.
What I was alluding to
before. He may be making pizzas in South America.
Yeah. I can't tell you how skeptical I am of that. I mean, there's a lot of people that are supposed to be in South America. But, I mean, I think I would take it for what it is. He gave up a lot of data that was too valuable for him to be able to leave without a problem. I think he met his demise. It is a traditional outcome for spies who are caught. It's interesting, the timeliness of you have this fascinating Russian wrap-up here in the United States and the complaint relating to that. You'll see a great deal of technical trade craft that went into that, but it too had shortcomings.
We have to take a little break, and we'll come back to that and other matters. My guests are Jack Devine, who is a 32-year veteran of the CIA, and Christian Carian, director of a fascinating, thrilling new film called Farewell, which opens on Friday, July 23rd at the Lincoln Plaza in Sunshine Cinemas. Stay with us for more. We're back with Christian Carian, the director of a new film called Farewell, which opens on Friday, the July 23rd at the Lincoln Plaza and Sunshine Cinemas, and also Jack Devine, a 32-year CIA veteran. Grigoryev, or at least that's the name you've given him in the film, his code name was Farewell. Why Farewell and not Adieu?
It was an idea from the chief of the French Secret Service. He was very English, fluent English, and they said, let's give a name like Farewell, because when the Russian, they will find the name, they will think about CIA and not French. That's all.
Jack was talking about how the modern spy craft involves all sorts of subtle things with laptops. At this time, he could Xerox some things, he could photograph some things, but there wasn't all the digital technology. No. He had to hand off original documents in many cases, didn't he?
Yeah. So the most difficult was to take the pictures, of course, of all the documents. At the beginning.
Thousands of pages.
Yeah, so he took all the papers out from the KGB, gave to a French guy and said, make yourself copies of all of this, which was very difficult for the French guy. So that's why the CIA proposed to the French Secret Service a new, a new...
They had a mini camera.
New camera, sorry.
And James Bond would have appreciated that teeny camera.
And so they use it, but Farewell was very hungry to have an American camera, because he said, so they know who I am. So he was afraid of this.
But he did not want to defect, at least according to the film, because he just wanted to see the changes occur in the Soviet Union and then live with them. I'd imagine the life of a defector has to be a very difficult one.
Yeah, but he knew that he will not survive. He said, I'm not afraid to die. So he committed like a suicide in a sort of way. So he said, they will find me. We have short time. So I will do my best to give you all the things I can.
Jack, have you ever dealt with any of the defectors?
For sure. sure, and they do fit into a fascinating and intriguing category. One of the things that I think emerges here, which is typical, is a deep illogical motivation. I mean, in most Hollywood type of movies, you're really looking at either a financial or a honeypot type of arrangement. It is surprising through the years how many people I met that had a compelling ideological basis for working working with foreign intelligence, and he fit that category. The life of the factor, when one who actually leaves, it's a different mindset, and it is difficult to make the transition. And there's a long history of individuals who have come out and have not adjusted well.
Have they ever been able to live normal lives?
Oh, I think there's a number that have done well in the West. There's a famous General Kalugin who's on American television, has written books, and is a consultant. He's come out to the West and has done quite well. There's a number of others through the years that have done made their mark, but there's an equal number that have not done well. If you're, let's say, you're a lieutenant colonel, as Farewell was, and you come out, you're used to a certain amount of status, privilege, and as you were referring to earlier, instead you're put up in a pizza parlor in South America, and that's an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who you are, your identity, you know, and if you were in the international political arena, it's hard to satisfy the needs of being involved there and protect your cover.
Christian Abulgance's Napoleon notwithstanding, don't French films typically avoid portraying real-life political figures? I saw this as somewhat surprising. There have been a lot of American movies in which we've seen real-life figures involved in historical events, but French films don't do that much.
No, that's right. That's right, and I regret it very much. I love American movies to be able to make very political movies. I asked my crew to watch one of them before starting the preparation of a movie. The movie was All the Men's President, you remember?
All the President's Men.
All the President's Men, sorry. Jan Pakula and Robert Redford and so on. I was really impressed by this movie because when you watch it, nothing happened. Just two guys talking by phone or meeting each other and so on. And at the end, the president has to leave. And I love that kind of movie, you know. And it's very political, the movie was shot just 2 years after the big scandal. In France, forget it. In France, we have a lot of scandal, political scandal, but no movie.
Mm-hmm. You could have had a scandal about Mitterrand and his secret second marriage.
It's funny because they asked me to do a movie about François Mitterrand and his double life. Well, just maybe more different lives. He was very fascinating. That's true. And we have every country has its own scandal. But in France, making movie about politics, scandal, and so on, it's rather difficult because our system depends a lot too much from the TV. And they don't want to take any political risk. I think so.
Well, the whole thing has changed. French cinema used to be the highest of art, and we have so many great directors who, going all the way back to the beginning of a film. I think the Lumières kind of almost invented movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think of Jean Renoir and then Truffaut and Godard and more recently people like Romer. And now we're not seeing a lot of really great films coming out of France. Is it because of the power of television, or Americans don't want to see movies with subtitles anymore?
I think maybe people are getting more and more lazy in France too. You know, everything is dubbed now.
They're all dubbed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rather difficult. If you want really to see a movie with subtitles, you know, you have to make an effort to find that kind of movies.
I was kind of stunned in France to see the American television show, what is it called, Two and a Half Men, dubbed into French.
Yeah.
with called Charlie's Uncle Charlie or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And it was just as stupid in France as it was in America.
Stupidity is international, you know.
Well, could you talk a bit, Jack, about your take on this latest spy scandal? It doesn't seem to have unearthed very much. Just a lot of people living secret lives, but not coming up with very much information.
I think the story is yet to be written on this.
You're sure there's going to be a whole bunch of movies, aren't you?
Well, we'll have to see how exciting they can make it. The point is everyone's looking at it as an intelligence collection effort. And why would you be in, you know, Montclair and be looked upon as an intelligence? What can you collect there? But my own instinct tells me that, you know, the KGB has been in business a long time. They are not novices at it. And I think the question is, what was their real motivation? And I suspect they were laying in infrastructure to support more sensitive cases. I mean, the illegals, as conceived of from the very beginning of time in the Russian nomenclature, are designed to be invisible people who support sensitive agents because the representatives of the UN or the embassy are not available to, or they're under so much scrutiny that an agent, an American penetration needs to be supported by people that are invisible. And I think they were laying that type of plumbing in, which would lead me to believe that they felt they had a growth industry in getting new sources. The connectivity among them was a bit surprising, and maybe that's due to the modern age of technology. So coming back to it, I have sufficient respect for the traditions of their service to think that we better wait and hold our fire before we write it off as, you know, the Keystone Cops. I don't think that's where we are. And if so, they have really deteriorated to a point that would be unrecognizable to me. And I don't think that's the way the world is today. I think what has happened here with all of our attention on Afghanistan and Iraq, there are other big intelligence issues going on that have sort of drifted to the back pages. And Russian intelligence, what this tells you is as robust and as aggressive as it was when Farewell was around. So I have a slightly different take on it.
Well,
one comment that I would make about the movie, just so that it doesn't go unnoticed and that I don't become that I become at least a defender here of American intelligence. I really, the only piece in it that I found stretching my sense of reality was the American service sort of throwing a Farewell to the wolves. I don't think that's the way the business really works.
Well, we don't know because this whole thing is rather murky. But
you that, you know, over those many years of my time in the agency and my study of it, it isn't the culture. It isn't how we really bend over backwards to protect sources. And I can't think of my living memory of a time where we threw one overboard to protect another. It makes for good theater. It makes for good movie. I think the first instinct is to get everybody out alive.
Well, Christian, one of the things that occurred to me when I started reading about these American spies was just how mundane their private lives were. And that's one of the things you also wanted to get across here in this film. These are people who are just, for example, Pierre's wife worries about the danger he's putting them all into by engaging in what's obviously a very exciting thing for him, but
it for was her, not his job. She said to him, to her husband, "I don't marry James Bond, so please stay as an engineer as you are."
Where did you shoot it? Because it really does look like it looks very authentic.
We shot in Ukraine and in Finland for the winter, But to be honest with you, we have stolen 4 shots in Moscow. We were just 3 with not official names, with the production, and officially to make a commercial for Coca-Cola. When you said you make a commercial for Coca-Cola, you can go everywhere.
Now, this is not something that has I've read about in histories of the end of the Cold War. Is that because so many of the, well, the Soviet side, we have somebody who was executed as a traitor. This is not the sort of thing a country writes about very much. And on the French side, Pierre, or whoever he really is, continues to want to remain anonymous.
The reason is, you understood that in Russia, they don't want to learn about anything about Farewell. Farewell was a nightmare for the KGB at that time. Yeah. In France, the reason is the relationship between François Mitterrand, the president, and the French Secret Service was not very good. He didn't trust the French Secret Service. They were not on the left, much more on the right. He was on the left, and so on and so on. That's why no one dare to talk about Farewell. So we had just have some in Le Monde, a newspaper, some papers about Farewell in 1985, 86, and that's all.
That was the only notice that really received. Mm. But in the case of Mitterrand, of course, whether he was at war with his own intelligence service or not, he was still using the intelligence to work out relations with the United States government.
Exactly, because in 1981, Ronald Reagan put a big pressure on François Mitterrand because of the 4 communist ministers. And he said to him, you have to change your government. You can't work with 4 communist ministers. And because of Farewell, Mitterrand was in sort of way allowed not to change anything.
Christian Carayan's film Farewell opens on July 23rd at the Lincoln Plaza and Sunshine Cinemas. It has a wonderful cast, and including some American stars. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and I want to thank you, Jack Devine, for participating in this conversation.
My pleasure.